All right. This is actually a sugya dear to my heart. It's something I really enjoyed going through when I went through it. And I do apologize for some of the guys who've heard it before. I didn't realize I did it last year also. And it takes up the issue of Netilah Sedayim. Okay, now the Netilah Sedayim I'm referring to is the Netilah that we make prior to having bread. Okay, I'm not referring to the Netilah, not bread. Bread. I'm not referring. Well, there's another shiur on what bread is. That's a separate issue. I'm not gonna get into the Netilah. For instance, we know the Kohen has to wash his hands and feet. That's called Kiddush Adayim Raglayim, right? That's a separate Netilah. Or the Netilah we do for Tefillah. That's what I'm not taking up. I'm just focusing on the practice of washing your hands prior to having bread. We're going to touch on that also. Okay. What? Because what's interesting about this area is that when the Rambam lists in the after he's done the Mishnah Torah at the end, he lists when he talks about various mitzvos, he says that there are a few positive rabbinical commandments, and one of them is Netilah Sedayim. Netilah Sedayim is a rare, almost like an endangered species, for lack of a better term, because it's an actual made up positive commandment. If you think about it, remember, most rabbinical law is prohibitive. It's you can't do X. But there are a few, like Hanukkah Purim or Megillah. Another example is Netilah Sedayim. So when you go through the Gemara on it, it gets very problematic very early on. And I think one of the guys already mentioned a question he saw, but it's going to be very tricky. This is a very, very difficult one to define. When I say define, give like a svara for it, because the Gemara is not very helpful, okay? So let's do the Gemara, and we'll just investigate. I think to answer it, we need the Gemara, and we need Tosos. I think Tosos helps out a lot to explain the Gemara. So, let's start. Who's reading today?
I'm a Rav Adai Bar.
Right, okay, so Gemara is Chulin Kufav Amon Aleph. So what do they say? Netilah Sedayim. Truma. Stop. Wow. That's a heavy statement. All right. It's very heavy. Why is it heavy? All right. Let's start parsing it. All right. What's problem number one with this statement? Okay. So the Gemara seems to be offering two reasons. Okay. That's alarm bell number one. Okay. Whatever. We're not explaining what those reasons are yet. Let's just call them X and Y. So the Gemara is saying, why do you wash your hands for chulin, for non-Kodesh things, because of A and B. Well, that's bad. That's problem number one. What else is a problem? Well, why don't we explain Srach Truma first? Let's just explain Srach Truma. Look at Rashi. What's Srach Truma? Ellie? Oh, Rashi. Yeah? Postlos? All right, so what's the problem? So for Kohanim, when they have Truma, right, it's critical that they be in a state of Tahor, right? And if their hands are Tame, right, they cannot Shnios L'Tumah, which I'm not getting into what specifically that is, but Shnios L'Tumah, they can't have the Truma. Aval Chulin. Sheni. But when it comes to Chulin, there's no idea of Sheni L'Tumah, right? In other words, if a Kohen wanted to go ahead and eat non-truma food, right, an apple that's non-truma, right, does he have to wash his hands? Of course not. Meaning your hands being washed, or I should say the necessity of tahora, of being tahor, applies to the consumption of truma, not to the consumption of chulin. Again, I'm going to emphasize that. It does not apply to the consumption of chulin. So then what does Rashi say? Ubibnei. Bechulin. Okay, so here comes the punchline. So Rashi says, and this should trouble you greatly if you read this. Rashi says that because of Srach Truma, which basically means what's our concern? Our concern is that the Kohanim, all right, who are going to eat Truma, they should wash their hands for when they eat regular oranges or apples. They're non-Truma. So this way, they'll be sure to go ahead and wash their hands, or meaning they'll have their hands tahar when they have Truma. So again, what Rashi's saying is that, what's Srach Truma? Hold on, Ezra. What's Srach Truma? Srach Truma is that the Kohanim, or I shouldn't say that. The Kohanim should wash their hands for chulin fruits and vegetables, right? By doing so, that'll ensure they'll also wash their hands for Truma apples, okay? Of course, what's problematic about that? That's like the most important question, because it's like the Gemara is trying to pull a fast one on us. Srach Truma should only apply to Kohanim. Why all of a sudden I can't speak for myself or for you, but why are all you guys, for the most part, included in this? What does it have to do with you guys, right? This is something to make sure that Kohanim are eating Truma properly. So make this a mitzvah for Kohanim, or a requirement for Kohanim. Why would it be that it applies to everybody? Okay? This is why it's so critical to listen to Rashi, to be very careful when you read these things, because it's so, if you go through this quickly, it's so easy to miss that question. To me, it's a critical question. Adam, yeah. Okay, so another question on the table is that if you trace the line from what the nature of this requirement is to what, and that's just what we do today, even back in the times of the Gemara, the idea is you wash your hand before you eat food. But the issue with the Kohanim was more washing your hands because you're touching or engaging with the food, right? Okay, that's also an excellent question. What else? But we know that Kohanim have special requirements that only apply to them.
Not in the day-to-day life.
So which will lead you to ask what? So what's the first reason? The first reason is Srach Truma. I think we've been successful in saying that Srach Truma does not sound like a very compelling reason for everyone to watch. Okay? Okay. What's the second reason? It says, Ellie, mitzvah, right? Well, but shouldn't that be the only reason? Meaning, why couldn't the Gemara just say, you know why? Mitzvah. That's why. It's a mitzvah to do. Okay? I'm gonna add one more question, and then we'll go a little further, which is building off Ezra's question, which is that the language from the Gemara, Netilas Yadayim Lechulin, sounds like, what do you wash your hands for? For what?
For
Truma. Well, no, for non-Truma. Well, what would that include? No. For food-wise. Everything. The Gemara didn't say, Notlim Yadayim Lechulin Lelechem, right? Didn't say that. It says for all foods. All foods. Meaning at this point in the Gemara, you would think that you're chayev to wash your hands for any food. Remember, if you're learning from Srach Truma, the Kohanim aren't washing their hands when they have bread. They're washing their hands every time they eat Truma. So why would it be limited? Where do we come up with this idea of it being limited to lechem? Okay? Okay. Is that clear so far? All right. So then keep going in the Gemara. So my mitzvah. So Ellie, the Gemara senses your question. What's the mitzvah here? So Amar Abaye. Yikes! Rashi says, Shetiknua. So what's the mitzvah? The mitzvah is to listen to what the Chachamim said. Again, one more time. You wash your hands before food because of mitzvah. And what is that mitzvah? The mitzvah is to listen to what the Chachamim said. How is that an answer? I mean, that's not giving a reason why, right? Okay. Yeah. What? Right, but the problem is the second reason can't be worse than the first reason. Like they're both. In other words, if you take Dardik's road, on the surface, both reasons seem to be so poor. Like I don't even make something out of this. You know, like they're both really bad reasons. Okay, so let's just skip to Tosfos for a second. Number 3, Tosfos senses this problem. He senses the problem because what does Tosfos say? Mitzvah lishmor divrei chachamim. Beim tomar. But one second, the reason why the Gemara lists is because it's Srach Truma, right? So what do we need? What is this mitzvah lishmor divrei chachamim? And then v'im kein mai va'od, right? What do we need this second reason for? The reason is Srach Truma. That should be enough. So he says v'yesh lomar. Okay, so let's go carefully now.
the Tosa says that the Chachamim were misaking this. In other words, what's the reason why? Because of cleanliness. Now, let's be clear, okay? I don't want to get into what the level of Nikias here means, okay? We are an extremely hygienic culture and society relative to previous generations, okay? I'm acutely aware of that. We live in the era of Purell and all sorts of other antibacterial stuff. So the very notion of what we look at cleanliness today is certainly going to be much different than back then. But, and I don't even know when it says Nikias, I don't even know if they understood purely from a disease standpoint. We can speculate about that. But certainly what it means on a simple level is that why do you wash your hands before you have, for now, food? To get dirt off. And you come in from the field and you've got dirt all over your hands. Right? So we want you to wash your hands. We want you to wash your hands prior to eating, okay? Now, just give me 1 second, Bizzal. So now, but if Tosos is correct, right, what's the problem with Tosos' answer? Tosos says, what was the takana? Takana was for Nikias, because of cleanliness. So what's the problem with that answer? Yeah, Rami. You mean you're asking, how does Nikias translate into a halachic mitzvah? Excellent. Nikias seems very practical. I'm saying, right, it's good. So if Nikias is the reason, if mitzvah means Nikias, which again, we have to fit that into the Gemara saying mitzvah, the mitzvah is to listen to the Chachamim, but somehow that means Nikias, okay? But then what do you need Tzrach Truba for, right? That I think, crystallizes the issue, in my opinion, in a much clearer way. In other words, once we have Nikias, then Tzrach Truba should be sufficient. We don't need Tzrach Truba anymore. Why the Gemara just say Nikias, right? That's correct. I agree. Nikias means there's some sakana here.
There's no inherent value in the Nikias, per se.
Agreed. It's not about cleanliness is whatever the line is. You know, it's not about... Yeah, I don't think that's what the Gemara is concerned about. Agreed. So how do we... So before we get to Rav Elazar ben Arach, how do we explain this? To me, like, this is a good situation for a basic svara, meaning... How do we answer these questions? Can we find an answer, an approach that will really maybe open up what the Tilsa Dime is about? We're going to get back into the Hamotzi later on. We're not ready for that yet. Just insofar, pretend for now it's about all foods. So what are these two reasons? Srach Truma, right? Mitzvah Lishma Devei Chachamim, and then in the backdrop, Nikias, right? What's going on here? Why do we wash our hands for food? I ask. The rabbi said so that should have been enough. It's tempting to go down that road, but I think you're mixing that up with netilah by tefillah, or like when the kohanim go to work. Because when the kohanim go in the base of mikdash, they wash their hands and feet to create like this state of mind, right, before they engage in that. But nikias sounds like a much more like practical type of thing. Your hands should be clean. Now, you could go down your road because you could argue you're not supposed to make a bracha if your hands are dirty. There's an idea like that. So you could say that. You could say, like, you know, but at the end of the day, it is still an idea. There is a practical consideration. So what would you say here? Why do you have two reasons? Okay. Let me ask it a different way. Which was the real reason? Bitzal sensing, very good. So that's definitely a step to take, that a practical concern is not enough to piggyback into the halachic system. Agreed.
And therefore, the real reason is the practical.
Agreed. Yes. In other words, I agree. That's taking what you're saying now to the next step, right? Yes. See, okay, with all due respect, Yehonatan, what I would say is like this. The real reason is Nikias, meaning that there's a concern Chazal have. They want people to make sure their hands are clean when they eat, okay? Now, keep in mind, there are other areas where the Chachamim also make certain suggestions about... health concerns, okay? And then you get the whole question of are these things consecrated in the halachic system? There's a section in the tour, for example, we just list. These are all like very firm suggestions that Chachamim make. Like, come on, you go like the classic example of meat and fish, right? So that example, it's very interesting where that lies in the halachic system. Is that like an actual halacha, or is it just a very firm suggestion? Because the Chachamim's power of legislation isn't really about telling you, so to speak, give you good advice, like don't go skiing. Rather, their objective is to teach you halacha, right? But there's like these areas, these gray zones, where they kind of venture into. Here, though, what?
Like the
Sure. By the way, yes. Here, there's a concern. I don't care why it's a concern, okay? But there's a concern of we want people to have clean hands when they eat, okay? We can speculate about why, but I don't think that's relevant. The problem is that they just went ahead and said to everybody, listen, we want people to wash their hands before they have chulin. People would be like, no, not so much, okay? In fact, you even see the, I'm going to use this word carefully, the, I apologize if the connotation comes off bad, the insecurity that they have about this, because the Gemara itself says, mitzvah, to do what? L'shmol derech chachamim. And now you'll see the Gemara later on, which reinforces this idea, this concern they have, which is that when we create a mitzvah, creating a mitzvah midrabanan for the Jewish people is not something the Jewish people are going to take, are really going to be in favor of. Like Purim and Hanukkah, no one's going to complain about that. I mean, Hanukkah has something naturally beloved about it, lighting candles, Purim, partying, you know what I mean? People don't really, I don't think people are, would be up in arms. But when it comes to the Netilas Einayim, that's changing the way you eat your food, right? You're creating a nihug. So I think what Bezalel and Ezra are saying is that in order to give it halachic teeth, they got to find some type of precedent somewhere in the legal system that they could latch this practical suggestion onto and then plug it into the halachic system. In other words, what I think the Netilas Einayim is giving us an opportunity to see is something very unique, which is that, made up. Well, of course it's made up. It's a mitzvah. It's a Darabanan mitzvah. What? I wouldn't say they made up halachic reason, but they looked for precedent. See, okay, for those people who appreciate like the Western legal tradition, like in America, let's say you bring a case to the Supreme Court. So what will they do? They'll search for precedent. They'll find somewhere in those books they have behind them, they'll find somewhere in there some case that kind of has something in common with what they're dealing with. And they can latch this situation onto that. What I'm saying here is that the Chachamim they know that if they legislate something simply because, for a practical reason, it's unhealthy, let's say. I'm speculating. It's unhealthy to eat with your hands dirty. But people, well, muksa is a little different. You remember from muksa. Muksa is that people are not relating to the halachic system properly, right? That's not what's happening here. Here, the problem is that people are just filthy, right? So we want people to be clean when they eat. But if we said that, you know what people are going to say? No. Who are you to tell us this? But if you piggyback off a precedent, even though the precedent and the Gemara is being honest, so to speak, it recognizes Srach Truma is not compelling on its own because Srach Truma applies to the Kohanim, right? No, but there's a precedent of needing to have your hands washed prior to a halakhic Maisa Achila. So we have that existing, even though it only applies to Kohanim. And we'll take that and then use this and then funnel our practical idea through that. We'll give it a halachic teeth by using that precedent, okay? And the proof for that, by the way, isn't just the fact that the Gemara says mitzvah l'shmol divrei chachamim, but I think there's a Gemara later on, and I think I brought it in here, but in the second set of sheets, which is, or maybe not, but it talks about anyone's mizalzel, it's in Gemara Sota, but anyone's mizalzel, Netilas Einayim, is like, a zona, and they have all these like condemning remarks. Why would the Gemara say that? Why would the Gemara say if someone's mizalzel these things, X, Y, Z? The reason why is because people would be mizalzel it. Because you know why? Because who are these rabbanim to come along? It's right, Yehonatan question. Who are these rabbis to come along and create this mitzvah, right? It's something that lends itself to a type of derision. Now, just to be fair, I know that the firmer people here, not you, Bitzal particularly, but the firm people here would say, well, what do you mean? We would never question the rabbinical world. But I just don't think that's true. The Gemara over and over again senses, and not just the Gemara, I mean all the way down to Poskim today, they always senses the tension that exists between the average Jew and the rabbinical world. There's a fear the rabbinical world has of legislation, and that people's response will not necessarily be positive. Or to put it in your terms, we have enough rules already. Okay, to have these rabbis come along and add another rule, which, by the way, impacts your normal daily life, right? We're not talking about, like, you know, once a year, like Purim Hanukkah. Every single time, for now, every single time you eat, you have to start worrying about this. That's huge. It's all-encompassing, right? So in order to do that, I think this is giving us, in my opinion, sort of an insight into how they approach a mechanism of trying to get people to adhere to a practical suggestion by giving like a halachic veneer, okay? So it's really, and then I'll take questions, it's really one reason, Ezra, you know what I mean? Or one entity, so to speak. It's one entity. It's the reason is Nikias,
And the mechanism of deployment is Srach Truma.
Once you make a mitzvah, there's real halachic consequences into not following it. Just to say, hey, wash your hands because, you know, I have a beard. That's not enough of a reason to go ahead and there's no consequence of that. You know what I mean? That's what I meant when I said it gives it halachic teeth. That happens to be an excellent question. That's something that even, we're not going to go through the whole sugya today, but when you walk out of the sugya, if Nikias is really the reason why, it's not as compelling to say, because, I mean, it seems to be that's the case, by the way, although we're going to bring Tuma in a second. But if it was just Nikias, then what you would say today is there's no reason why we should use a Kli. What should you do today? Use Purell or wash your hands with soap, right? But I'd go further than Bitsala, if with your permission.
Yeah.
How did I go further? I would say is that, well, in other words, today, more often than not, your hands are clean. Right? So, it's not like before I eat, it's not like even the 1950s, well, not from the 1950s, but 1950s, you know, wash your hands before you have dinner. Come on. Today, I mean, do you wash your hands before you have dinner? You know why you don't? Because your hands aren't dirty. You're not playing in the fields all day. I mean, I can't speak for Sean, but you're not playing in the fields all day, right? Right, Sean?
Depends on the day.
You know what I mean? So, like, and not only that, if your hands were dirty, you'd wash them before you eat. You know, so it's like a weird thing. I agree. Yeah. So now the Gemara says, Rabba Amar, Mitzvah Lishmoa. Sure, why not? Dechsev, because what does he say? Hazav. The Yadav Shataf B'mayim. All right, so what does that mean? What does the Torah tell us? Well, yeah, close, but look at Rashi where it says HaShataf B'mayim. We're talking about a Zav, okay? Zav is a certain state of Tumah, right? So HaShataf B'mayim. Bitmia, okay? So we don't need to, what does it mean to say that if by touching, let's say a Zav touched something, right, that his hands are it's an issue of Tahara on his hands. That's not the issue by Zav. A Zav's Tumah affects what? His entire body. We don't separate out an idea of the hands of somebody who's Tameh from the rest of his body. We don't have such a thing. Either you're Tameh or you're Tahar, right? There's no idea of having hands that are Tameh and a body that's Tahar.
Yeah.
So Rashi says, Elahachi Kamar, Hanogea Bezav, right? Eli, go on, look at the next Rashi. Hanogea Bezav, Umish Eno Shotef as Yadav. Tamein. Be'amahi. Oh. So what's Rashi telling you? Rashi telling you something very interesting. That what were the Chachamim, I mean, this is stronger, the Chachamim look to the Torah now for a source, but what are they using? What are they using from the Torah? Well, that's what the Asmachta is, but what is the Asmachta here? What do we learn out from this? What are the Chachamim creating? Say it again? Okay, so it sounds like what they're doing is they're creating a new, so to speak, type of Tumah. They're saying Tumah Shadayim. What?
Why does it matter, though?
Oh, I'll tell you why. Because the problem is like this. The problem, if you want to take Nikias to the next level, okay, and give Nikias even stronger halachic teeth, Srach Truma simply teaches you about washing, right? Because they were Tameh. But what if I told you that the Chachamim came along, and what do? They created a new type of Tumah, right? Now, I want to be careful when I say it this way. You cannot tell me, right, that when you're walking around during the day, before you wash your hands to make hamotzi, your hands are tameh. And then by washing them, they're not tameh, right? And then what? You eat, and then one of them become tameh again. That's just not true. Right. All right. But let's, again, forget Ruach Ra. The fact is that tumah here, looking from a halakhic standpoint, is simply Chazal created a category called tumah tzedayim. He's not, Rav Elazar's not talking about Srach Truma. He's saying, forget Srach Truma. He's saying something more. We have a deraisa inference. We have an institution called Tumah that exists that we can piggyback off of. Everyone's in a coal, and now it makes us seem stronger because we're saying, look, it's in the Torah, right? There's only one problem when it comes to this, not to like waking up in the morning, when it comes to this. It's just, the biggest, the negative to this is that, but it's not true. You understand what I mean when I say that? Because your hands are not tummy before you eat. It's that it's a purely, it's not a ruach ra idea, right? Ellie, it doesn't mean that, but now we're still stuck because all we know about is foods, right? How do we start limiting this? So look at Gemara number 4. What?
How do we deal with
it? All right, Ellie, go on. So look at number 4.
If the woman is drinking, this is the point that like all like the reason why like low
amru. Right. So when it comes to now, all of a sudden we've narrowed our food things, right? Our food categories. That you wash your hands for fruits because of nikias. Okay, sabar mina. So what do we deduce from this? Ika. Oh, so we could definitely deduce it's not a requirement, but it's like heavily suggested halachically. What? Sure. Or
is
like
it,
it's
a mitzvah more stringent than a
bowl? No, not in this context. Here it means like a kiyum. But then the Gemara says, "Amalu Rava lo chov lo mitzvah el rishus." He says, "No, no, no. When it comes to washing hands for fruits, it's simply it's up to you." Now, here's the part I want to focus on: the pliga of Rav Nachman, the Amar Rav Nachman. Migasei ruach. If someone washes his hands for fruits, he's like it's like he's arrogant. Now, of course, the question you should ask at this point is why, especially if you're talking about nikias. Now, let's pretend, okay? Let's just bear with me. Let's assume you're only supposed to wash your hand for bread.
Wait,
let's
go. Rav is saying that you can't.
You shouldn't.
You should.
Yeah, you shouldn't. Right, you shouldn't do it. Okay, but now take a look at number 5, the Aruch HaShulchan. Hanoto yadav the peros harizei migasei ruach. Why? Okay, Vachachamim. Pass, stop. All right, we'll get back to how he knows this to be the case. But for now, he's saying that the Chachamim were only misaking the Tilos Adayim for bread. So what's the problem if a guy goes ahead and washes his hands for fruits? It's like he's arrogant, right? He's being more machmir than the Chachamim. So what's the idea here? Because why couldn't I say, listen, I'm a frum guy. They said I should go ahead. This is an important. This is a very critical point in how halacha works. They said to go ahead and wash your hands out of cleanliness. So you know what? Why stop with bread? Every time I have food, what should I do? Forget fruits. Every time I should have food, what should I do? I should wash my hands. That sounds like a very good thing to do. So why would Rav Nachman come along and say you're haughty, that you're arrogant if you go ahead and do that? Right? What's the answer? Hey. I would say that I agree with Ellie. Without knowing why it's pas yet, what I would say, what Ellie's saying is correct. See, this is a mitzvah asei midurabanan, right? So just like a mitzvah asei d'oraisa has a clear halachic bal tosef aspect to it, it could be that what he's saying here is, again, it's not halachic bal tosef, but the gas ruach idea is that the guy's saying, I'm adding to the present mitzvah. The mitzvah is to wash for bread, right? If you come along and say, I'm going to wash for peros, even if you're someone who's hyper-hygienic, at the end of the day, from a halakhic standpoint, you're baltosifing to the mitzvah saseh of the Tel Sedayim.
Is this like the people who are doing...
I like his explanation. He says, if he says, he says, Mikol Makom, you see the third line there, Mikol Makom Haim?
Yeah.
Arai. So fruit is really what? What's arai? What? Sukkah, meaning what? It's temporary. It's like a quick eating, okay? Whereas velo gozru, so they're only gozer on well, achilas keva really means what?
A
meal.
Do you think it's like a practical thing? Like if someone's like in the field, like if someone's like coming back for like dinner or whatever.
Here, that's a separate question. But the fact is, in halacha, right, seuda is always about bread. Okay? What would be the problem? Says carefully. What would be the problem if the Chum said you have to wash for all foods?
It'd be rejected.
Okay, because?
Because people don't like their
bun. No. But yeah. But,
because it loses the...
It's too overreaching. Like overreaching their... Yeah, exactly. I mean, to expect people to go ahead, truthfully, in a utopian world, everyone would wash it for every food they eat. But the fact is, it's just too overreaching. Now, but you need a halachic response to that. You can't just say it's too much, because again, you have to go back to halachic categories to determine. So I think one possibility, again, you could say what you were saying, Ezra, you could use the practical line to draw, okay? But keva means something different to me. This, we can reach back to the basar chalav share, but what keva, a seuda, right, is looked upon differently in halacha than achilas arai. Achilas keva, what does a seuda bring with it that you don't see about? If I eat an apple, right, I'll never have to. If three people eat an apple together, right, we never worried about zimun. But when three people eat bread together, what happens? Because there's a social experience that keva has that requires zimun, without getting into what zimun is, right? Meaning there's something experientially different about achilas keva versus achilas arai. So rather than, if you want to put in more brisker terms, rather than attach the mitzvah to the chepsa of ochel, right? Rather to attach to every object or thing that I might eat, they attach it to a certain type of experience. So they didn't want to be so overreaching in their halacha, and now they got to look at some halachic thing to attach it to. So attach it to a certain type of eating experience. That's seuda. That's pas. You don't have an eating experience by steaks. It's not about the bread per se. It's about the seuda, and the only way to have seuda is through bread. So that's why you wash for bread.